Welcome to Modern Marketeers, the Barclay Health and Finance Podcast. I'm Sam Mears with Barclay Health and Finance. We're taking a different route to our podcast today and talking about a significant research study we recently completed for Barclay Health and Finance. Our work in the health insurance category over the last several years, and especially since the advent of the Affordable Care Act, has piqued our interest in the potential mindset differences between a health insurance member and a medical patient. So this year, we undertook a national survey to gain a better understanding of those differences. In the studio with me today is Anna Essman, strategist and strategic planner at Barclay, and Jimmy Cowan, strategy director at Barclay. Anna led the research initiative and has worked with Jimmy and our team to help bring the whole thing to life. So Anna and Jimmy, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome to the studio today.
Thank you, Sam.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Great to be here.
So, Anna, I know you've worked on this for the past several months. Just give us a little background on what was the rationale behind the research.
Sure. So health insurance decisions, in doing a lot of our work with our clients, we have come to understand that health insurance decisions have such a big impact on so much of the rest of a person's experience of healthcare. And it's a big decision and one that people don't always understand as well as they should. Choosing coverage can be very complicated, and it's a difficult choice because it forces you to consider long-term and hypothetical situations, and we tend to think more in the short term and our experience of health as it is in the present day. But the kind of implications that you don't want to be worrying about when you're a patient and you have a health event are the things you need to be thinking about when you make a health insurance decision. However, there is a lack of understanding on the member side of what exactly it is that they're purchasing. So we wanted to understand what leads to friction in member experiences and what the kinds of things that people are thinking about that go into making that decision.
So what did you find when you started digging into this? I mean, I know we talked to several hundred respondents or had several hundred respondents to this.
Well, we find that there is a big shift in mindset from being a member of a health insurance carrier to being a patient when you have a health event. Those are very different mindsets that have different associated emotions and different things and priorities that you care about. So it really matters to make the right decision at the onset and have a good relationship and evaluation method with a carrier when you're going to make that decision. The other thing we found is that people really want and understand that relationship between themselves as a patient and their doctor, but they don't always understand what it means to be a member of a health insurance carrier, and they actually identify somewhat differently that relationship between themselves and a carrier.
Tell us about that. How? Because a member is a very much an internal name. Mm-hmm. that we use in the category, you know, and I think that creates some confusion among customers. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know we found information out about how they think about that.
Mm-hmm. So there is a very distinct difference for a person who considers themselves a member and feels like a member in their relationship to a health insurance carrier than someone who identifies themselves as a customer. For members, we had about 39% of the people who we surveyed identify as a member, and they had more of an emotional connection and association with that term membership and belonging to a part of a larger group. And they had sort of the understanding that everyone puts in to this collective pot and that those in need may take out and be protected by the group, and that also everyone has a turn, and it's okay if this year I'm putting in for other people to benefit. On the other hand, we had about 32%, almost a third of our national representation, say that they felt like their relationship was more of a customer to a business. And that's really different. That's a business transaction where there's very set expectations of what you're paying for and what you expect to get in return. So they definitely feel like they're owed coverage for claims rather than they benefit from the collective pool.
Well, and I know, Jimmy, you've done a lot of research in this category too, on behalf of Barclay and our clients. And when we were doing specifically the work on Spiracare and getting that set mm-hmm. up, one of the things you uncovered was that people didn't really understand how health insurance works.
Yeah. So, and I think this even goes back, about 2 years ago. This is insurance, but it's an auto insurance. We had a client we were bringing a go-to-market strategy, and we're doing some robust research around just the idea of how could we test sort of the frameworks and understanding of what membership and what insurance is to users. And so we wrote up concept statements. One of the statements was literally spot on what Anna was just talking about of what insurance actually is. It's a shared risk pool, right? And you pull out whenever you have an incident. People looked at the concept and literally said, that's absolutely absurd. I want exactly what I put into this, you know? So it's like if you get just the level set, people do not get this concept at all of insurance. It's a hot topic, but I mean, I'd be fascinated to see like what percent truly can grasp like what insurance is as a business model. And the thing that's, you know, the implications of that, I think, are with the way you talk about whenever you say member from an insurance plan, right? And this gets into language and how you communicate things. Member or membership has a lot of different meanings and frames of thought outside of just insurance,
right?
So you're borrowing a lot of these other things and trying to frame it up, whereas if you look at the model, it makes complete sense. And if you are an insurer, you're like, yes, you are a member of this pool of shared risk. Whereas outside, it's like membership should have benefits. I'm
right.
a member of the health
club. There should
club.
Be a loyalty issue here, right?
Yeah. And so we actually battle a lot with that because with Spiracare, it's a different model, especially for this market, in that you have integrated care and you have integrated care and insurance as an offering. And so, you know, as we looked at it, we had a lot of debates around, do we call them patients? Do we call them customers? Do we call them members?
Right.
And, you know, the way that we looked at it is that, yes, they are patients, but what we knew is that the model of care and how patients or, you know, members or just consumers were getting care, they weren't very happy and they felt like doctors weren't really delivering on the promise. There was no care in healthcare anymore. And so we thought, well, patient maybe doesn't have much purpose anymore for that group of care providers. And so we actually reframed it and said, okay, care providers and care teams, the people that are actually in the front lines, we reframe those individuals who come in, who they would see as patients in the past, as members, because we wanted this integrated offering to be something different, right? Membership should have its benefits. And it aligns with the Blue Cross as an insurance provider, because they also have members. But finally, it kind of gives more meaning that's cohesive, that facilitates the delivery of something unique and different,
yes,
versus just being a word that makes sense for a business model, but doesn't really make sense to a consumer who may engage with or define that word differently based on their lives.
So. And if as our listeners, if you've not listened to the podcast with Jason Spasek and I talking about Spiracare, that one dives into a lot more information about the you know, primary care side of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, which is manifesting itself, you know, this year for the first time as Spiracare and the Spiracare clinics that we have here in Kansas City. Anna, what were you going to add to that? I know you were you know, thinking about that whole member patient. You know,
yeah,
customer.
It when we really dug deep into what matters the most and what people care about, members do care about the care. They care about where they're going to access care and what it's going to take to get in with that doctor. They care about being able to navigate all of the different hospitals and providers in the area and understand who's going to be able to best meet their needs. So members really do care about the care, and that's from what you're saying to Spiracare. Experience, that is an important aspect of having care guides and care providers who are able to deliver on that expectation.
I think another thing too, you know, as we're talking about membership and members versus customers, you know, one of the things that we've really tried to push into and create a different sort of approach on is because this is such a confusing offering, whether you're a customer or a member, you're buying something that's very confusing. We've really tried to push hard into reframing how you actually, you know, thinking about the end user as a customer who you onboard into something, right? It typically is just something you check off a box, but it tends to be the highest, you know, cost, you know, as you look at your insurance portfolio or benefits portfolio for an employer. And, you know, rarely do you really get to truly onboard somebody to realize that maybe there are membership benefits to this. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that have no clue how to use telemedicine, don't know how they can call a doc and have instant access. And then they wonder, then they get frustrated and they're like, I don't have access.
Well, but this is such a back burner. everything we do in health insurance and, you know, health care, it's a back burner issue until it's not. Okay. And then all at once we're either sick or we get a diagnosis, and all at once we're thrust into the medical mill. We may or may not fully understand what our benefits are. You know, we go to our annual benefit meeting, and or you sign up during open enrollment, and you know, now you've got insurance, okay, but it isn't relevant until it's relevant. You know, and Anna, to your point about members versus customers, they think about it very differently. You know, it's transactional more for a customer. You know, and Jimmy, when you're talking about members and, you know, and how the Spiracare offering mm-hmm. fits into that, there are benefits to being a member. Mm-hmm. Okay, but how do we, all right, so our audience for this podcast are it's business to business. So it's, if we're going to say to, you know, a healthcare marketer, how do we talk to the people you insure? Are they customers? Are they members? Are they both? Does it, you know, what kind of segmentation strategies do we have to get into to answer these questions?
Well, I think the first thing to say on that point is that a person can be both. You can be very much in a mindset where you are a member, and again, you have navigation questions, you have access questions, you have a particular procedure or test that you need to get done, and you want to know to what extent that will be covered so you can set expectations for your budget and for what to expect down the road, you know, that might follow after that. Then, you know, later on, when you do get an explanation of benefits, which is not a bill, but gives you some idea into what you can expect financially, you switch a little bit more to a customer mindset. Why am I being charged for this? Nobody asked me if I wanted, you know, that part of this testing, or if I could get that somewhere else, why am I being charged for it? So it can switch back and forth between member and customer. But generally speaking, when we surveyed our participants for this study, people tended to sit a little bit more comfortably in one mindset overall than the other. Mm-hmm. So I do think it's important that carriers recognize there are two very distinct mindsets that people are approaching their relationship with a carrier and their interactions with a carrier from, and that it's a significant population for each. It's 40% of one and a third of the other.
There's a lot of conversation always that this is a price-sensitive market. But the fact is, it may not be as price-sensitive with some audiences as it is with others. Correct?
Correct. I think price matters when you're making your initial decision and people look at how much their premiums are. And that has a lot to do with the options that are offered to you from the beginning, and what your health needs are and what you've considered for your family and what you might need for the year. So that's the long term and the hypothetical implications. But experience matters too. And if people feel that they have options that align with their priorities and they have plans and different levels of coverage that are going to meet what they are expecting for the year, then the experience of delivering on those expectations of different plans and different priorities matters just as much as how much it costs them every month.
Right. You know, and I think this is maybe going back a little bit to more focus on, you know, I think the way, if I were to say to a healthcare marketer, or even an executive, a leader in the healthcare space, I think you have to inherently allow and inspire a belief and perspective in customers around, or users. Sorry, not to use the word customers, but
yeah, get wrapped around the axle on that.
Yeah, inspire this belief in what they are getting. Right, there has to be you want people to believe in it, but you also want to empower them to act like customers.
Right,
because whenever that event happens, you want them to be able to act on and understand how to utilize these products and services. Right. And so there's kind of this membership is all about belief in the benefit, and then there's customer. Act like a customer, be empowered, because, you know, many people hit that event, like you had mentioned, and all of a sudden everything flips. You know, but it's like we're just not doing a great job at either of those, and therefore people are really confused and everyone's stressed about price and pointing fingers,
well,
you know.
So obviously with what we've done with Spiracare and what BlueKC is doing with Spiracare, that opens up a whole different conversation. about member experience or customer experience or patient experience mm-hmm. or whatever we're going to call it. But what would we say to a carrier who does not have a health clinic, experience? How do we help mm-hmm. them? What would we recommend to them to say, mm-hmm. how do you start communicating differently to your stakeholders mm-hmm. and to your providers so that, this is a better experience? So it's not back burner. B, we make it proactive. What do we do? What recommendations do we make?
I think there is a big problem with members and customers feeling prepared and being prepared to have conversations when they do have a health event and suddenly they are a patient. I think that people need to know where to access the answers to the questions they have. And everyone has had a confusing and frustrating experience on a phone tree, and you're directed to member services right. when really you need, a different department altogether, and you're tossed around four different times. So not only do we need to be able to say, here are some things to be thinking about. Did you know you can shop for this procedure or this test? You can act more like a customer and price out, what you can expect at different access points in the healthcare system. And on top of that, here are some of the things that you can be asking about and thinking about when you are in front of your doctor so that you have a better idea of how this is going to turn out.
So when you think about the marketing that typically takes place, from a carrier perspective, it's usually focused on acquisition. Mm-hmm. It's not focused mm-hmm. on retention necessarily. And it's not necessarily focused on how do we improve the experience. There certainly from a social perspective, there's plenty of education and videos out there, mm-hmm. but we're requiring people to seek those out.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, this is a back burner issue.
Yeah. I think this goes back to, I think, one of the biggest opportunities in this category is onboarding and education.
And doing it better up front.
How do you do it great up front, early on in the lifespan of someone who is purchasing for the first time? And that could be a game changer for how people are able to act like customers but still believe in the benefits of membership.
So probably a year ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who is in the category, in the business, on the carrier side. And he had one of those aha moments where his wife, found out she had cancer. And it was all at once going from not being in, not really caring about, it's there, my health insurance coverage is there, but now we have to use it. And his comment to me was, it would have been awesome if I just received a call from customer care or customer service saying, Mike, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Financially, we've got you covered. You just take care of your wife and make sure this is all good on your end. It didn't happen. Okay, so I think, Jimmy, what I'm hearing you're saying is there are opportunities where there are touch points where we could actually map out mm-hmm. as part of the customer journey, the member journey, how to be more intentional.
But to your point as well, so that by onboarding, being more intentional about how you educate and provide people with the tools to act like customers whenever they buy this and they need it and they use it, I think that is a fix for a system that is challenging at large as it exists today. There's a great video floating around. I wish I knew the names of the people in it, but it was floating around online, and it was two sisters, one that lived in Ontario, and I think another that lived in California, and both of them had cancer. And so she writes this whole piece. I think she sent it to some politicians, but she wrote this whole piece on what the experience was like having cancer in Canada versus the U.S.
Oh, wow.
But the fascinating thing about that is that in the U.S., it's like there's a binder of all the EOBs and the costs and the bills and everything racks up. And the sister in Ontario had nothing. She was just told to take care of, you
go
focus
here,
on
do this.
You. Yeah, we'll handle it. So there isn't any necessary onboarding for someone in that type of system because they don't know how, they don't have to act like customers.
Right.
Because someone's treating them like what I would say is the most ultimate member.
Right.
Right? Because they don't have to worry about anything. That's like, who wants the most VIP experience
right.
possible,
so,
right?
Well, but fair. Okay, but we also know, guys, that constraints foster creativity.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we know we have all these constraints, like we know that, you know, at least in Missouri, the Department of Insurance requires that an EOB be sent out within, you know, 2 weeks of the doctor's visit. That's just one of 100 mm-hmm. different constraints that we have to like live with and manage around regarding, you know, how we serve our clients in this category. I think that the hard part is, you know, and it goes back to why we chose to do this research to begin with, of what insights can we uncover that can help our clients, you know, drive their business forward in a meaningful way that does not require a complete reengineering mm-hmm. of their business.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, this is not easy, but you know, I look at especially, you know, insurance providers, I mean, you're going to be having to take the most risks and investing in the right things in the future, you know, because there is a trajectory where you become or you risk the potential of becoming a claims processor, and that is about
right.
it. And so I think that there, like, you have to continuously push and question the way that things are done. And they're so regulated that you can't, if you get stuck into the regulations, it's like, are you in the business to bending to every regulation
right.
or in the business of being in business? Because at the end of the day, it is your duty to service a community and the health of members that pay you a significant amount of money for that offering. And so it's kind of a little bit, to me, it feels sitting duck-ish, but
well,
not to sound.
I think it probably is. You know, Anna, the one of the things I noticed in the research was what carriers should do versus what physicians should do. You know, talk a little bit about what, and part of that is what should carriers stop doing?
Yeah, so the research definitely showed that people have different expectations and guidance that they want from their physicians, and they don't want their carriers to start to play a role in that same guidance. So for example, people want lifestyle guidance. They want wellness tips and different things that are going to help to make them a healthier person in the day-to-day from their doctor. That's a person who knows their history. That's a person they've had a conversation with about what is best for them and their health needs. They don't always necessarily want lifestyle tips and recipes from their carrier. They want simplicity. They want help understanding if they get an explanation of benefit. What does my specific coverage look like, and where am I at in tracking that? How is that simple and easy for me to understand that I am this far into my deductible and that you covered 80% of these charges and I'm left to pay the 20%? That's not clear and simple and easy to understand for members and customers today. And that's something that I think a lot of people feel frustrated and failed by carriers in a lot of ways, because they're left just with a bill at the end of the day.
So do you guys think that the reason carriers have defaulted to, and I hate to even say it, but to recipes and lifestyle, you know, content is because they don't want to tackle the bigger hairball issues of the fact that an EOB comes in a week or two before an invoice comes in? And
I think that not that they don't want to tackle, that's the easy part, is thinking about, I mean, you look at a population and you look at making it healthier, it's super easy to say, well, that's recipes tactically. If you look at it from an objective,
yeah, but if
it's
not
like,
relevant, it's if that's not where the patient, the member, expects you to bring value, then why do it?
But then, because I think that there's a perception that there's this perspective that that is doing good and that is contributing to the greater health, but it's not necessarily backed up by truly thinking through the lens of the customer
member. But is it even considered authentic coming from the carrier?
I don't think so. I think that the people who studied medicine and the people who know the patients and the ones to be giving that advice is the doctor, and that's who people want to hear it from. Content that people want from carriers should be focused on the topic where they have authority and they studied and are experts in, which is health insurance and access and navigation and the value and use of benefits. Now, where I think there's a disconnect, and Jimmy has said it, is helping members to understand the value of the plans that they've bought. We know that only 4% of the entire U.S. population understands the four most basic terms, which is deductible, out-of-pocket maximum, coinsurance, and premium. So the four most basic components of a plan and what you're paying for, only 4% of people know. And there's also a big issue with perception of what people think they know and what they actually know. So for a deductible, which is a pretty important piece of what you're paying for and the value you're getting from your health care, only 74% of people say that they know what that is. But then when you have them define it, only half of this country truly understands what that term means. So to what Jimmy's point has been for the last few minutes here is carriers are the authority in health insurance, and they're the ones selling these plans with, you know, varying deductibles and coinsurance, but they're not doing a great job to make sure that people understand what they're buying up front and then how that's being applied to the health care that they're receiving throughout the year.
So again, we go back to, we spend a lot of time acquiring customers. Mm-hmm. We don't spend a lot of time educating customers or helping them understand a very complex category. Are there things that carriers and physicians could be doing together to help educate the category, educate the people that the consumers that have to actually, like all of us, that have to like move through this extraordinarily complex process? What could we be doing together?
Go ahead, Anna.
You two are like, oh my, what a question.
It's a big question. I think that carriers need to respect the relationship that patients and doctors have and understand that that is sort of sacred and that guidance is from a medical authority, and let that relationship be what it is. I do think there are ways that they can help to prepare patients to maximize the time that they have with their doctors. I think there's potentially ways that carriers can incentivize physicians to be a little bit better about customer service best practices, so starting appointments on time, making sure follow-ups are happening in a timely manner, that people truly understand what the cost of a visit is going to be and everything that was ordered in that visit, so that, you know, again, there's no surprises when the EOB comes and why wasn't I asked if I wanted that test?
Right. Or who is this physician that I don't recognize on my EOB?
Exactly.
Or what doctor's group was it even with?
Yes.
Right.
The
I
other
had one
thing,
come in the other day like that. I'm like, who's Amy? I'm like, I don't even know who you are.
You know? Yeah. The other thing I think carriers have a big role in is just making sure that people understand they have options in network and where those are. I think generally, members understand the idea that, you know, some hospitals and physicians are off limits and they're out of network and some are in, but I don't think that either has members or customers have a good sense of what their network actually is comprised of. So if carriers can just make sure that members are going to the right places so that they're not accruing out of network coverage fines or fees, then that's another big thing that's going to help improve the experience from both a patient and member standpoint, so that you're not being surprised later on.
And, you know, on I think the biggest challenge that holds back, just to build off what Anna said, from the, you know, the actual provider and the carrier and just finding a middle ground is that, you know, if you look at what insurance is, insurance needs scale to work, right?
Right.
At the same time, what providers are very much still a cottage industry of diverse, different right. entities that is hard to figure out a way to find a connective tissue at scale. So inherently, these things are so hard to
They're
fit together.
Opposed.
Yeah, they are. And so it's, you know, it really, if you look at it from a carrier side, it's like this would take such an investment on, you know, such a huge scale to really find a way to make it all work together. I mean, where it gets easier is whenever there's less of the cottage industry.
When it's vertically integrated.
Yeah, there's vertically integrated, or there's more uniform sort of structure across that industry of providers that allows that connective tissue to take hold. Otherwise, it's dealing with the differences of personalities that human beings have as, you know, providers and, you know, the doctors that deliver care. It's all over the place.
Well, so where does the innovation lie? Okay, where does, I'll leave that question out there for you guys to like respond to? Where does the innovation lie based on the research that we've done, based on what we know about the category? Where does the, where's the innovation going to come from?
I do think part of the innovation has to be the experience of servicing members. Like, to your point, we have to be better about retaining members and making people happy to stay with us. So when I know that I need to go access care in a month for with a specific doctor for a specific need, I want to have a conversation before I schedule an appointment about where should I be going? Is it in network? This is a high quality doctor. I know that they have good outcomes if I haven't established that relationship already. Or if I have established the relationship, have a quick conversation that is, we know this is coming up for you. Here's some things we found are really helpful when members ask these questions. And here's some things you should be thinking about from a follow-up standpoint, you know, to be going over with your doctor and to be setting up for the future. So the inexperience, you know, the annual care that you're getting, I think there's more of a touch base and relationship that's not happening, that, you know, health insurance carriers are kind of waiting for people to have issues and then come to them. And by that point, they're already frustrated and they're already looking for answers and not finding what they need. So if it's more of an interactive relationship where, again, there's back and forth and prioritizing that it is a business relationship and mm-hmm. each side has an interest in it, I think that that benefits mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah. Jimmy?
Yeah, I think, you know, there are innovation opportunities all over the place. I don't think there's one solved, but everybody can do, I think, their job a little bit better. And that's going back to my comments on onboarding and educating and empowering people to be able to act like customers with something that they spend a lot of money on, right? All the way through to, you know, having doctors and you know, care providers being able to deliver care and, you know, not be in a situation where they're incentivized only to process people through it. You know, right. A body every 10 minutes, you know, it's all these incentives are off. I think what it feels like now, and I think that there's, you know, I'm not going to say that there is an innovation that, you know, I can pinpoint or point my finger at it, but it's, you know, it feels a lot like we're in the era of, remember whenever you had the home computers?
Right.
But you didn't have internet yet, right? And you had
no
all
one
these,
knew. No one knew who the, you could.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you could. But we're all like, we have all these home computers, and home computers kind of represent providers, and nothing's really integrated or connected. And all of a sudden, the internet's going to come around in this industry, and everything's going to get very connected. And it's like all these APIs are open. They need to find a way to plug in. And then all of a sudden, something's going to flip, and the innovations, that's what it's going to be about. Because then you're going to have communication where, you know, the insurer isn't going to have to talk about recipes and healthy right. fitness lifestyles. They're going to, you know, they may find a way to equally bring in the doctor's voice into delivering you that, or maybe they help to deliver that. It's finding a way to collaborate in a way, right, which we don't.
It's connecting the dots between disparate ideas.
Yeah. In this cottage industry, right?
In what is a cottage industry right now that is not connected.
Yeah.
And certainly the Affordable Care Act has helped. You know, the patient-centered medical homes have helped. But we're still not there.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, too, so our listeners know, we're working on wrapping all this research up in a white paper. And Anna, it's on Anna's plate, and she's looking at me like, oh, my, when do we have to have this done? But we are. And so if you're interested in getting a copy of that white paper, just shoot me an email, smears@barclayus.com, and we will get you a copy of that white paper. And we'll publish it, I'm guessing, sometime in Q1. And it'll be on all of our social channels. But thank you, too, for stepping in to Modern Marketeers today. Anna Essman, who's a strategic planner at Barclay, and also Jimmy Cowan, strategy director at Barclay. Join us again for Modern Marketeers, the Barclay Health and Finance podcast. Until next time, remember, it's easier to think things up than to think things through. Thanks, guys.